Well, good evening, everybody. This is the House of Representatives call for the Republic for the United States of America. Today is Tuesday, August 27th, 2013, just a little bit after 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific time. I'd like to welcome you to the call this evening and kind of give you a rundown of what we're going to be doing tonight. The agenda was sent out yesterday to everyone. I'm going to change the agenda just a little bit tonight. We have a couple of documents that are going to be read as well. Plus, we're going to have a guest speaker tonight, Indiana's governor, Dan Owens, will be joining us on the call momentarily. But we'll start tonight with our opening prayer, as usual, the roll call. And if we have any new representatives, we'll be doing the swearing in of those people at that time. We'll have our committee updates, and then Representative Owens will read a letter from Rowdy Templer. And then I will read a letter, or actually an act called the Dictionary Act. And at that time, Governor Owens will come on and briefly explain that act, how important it is for us to understand that, and he'll give us some more details about that as the night goes on. I'll also be reading a document that Governor Owens sent to me requesting that all our committee chairs meet the governors on their Monday evening call to give an update to what they're doing in their committees. So I'll read that letter from him. And again, Governor Owens will be on the call still to answer anybody's questions about that as well. And then we'll have 1 minute of floor time. That'll be a time that you can ask those questions about the Dictionary Act and about the letter that Governor Owens has sent. And then once we have the minute of floor time, then when that's done, we'll adjourn to the 10th of September, taking next week off for the holiday, and also have a closing prayer. And with that, does anybody want us to lead us in prayer this evening before we get our meeting started?
Well, Representative Ford to do it.
Yes, you have the floor, sir.
Everyone ready? Our Lord and our God, we thank you once again. Thank you, dear God, for your loving kindness. Thank you, all your many blessings. Dear God, we thank you, Republic, the workers of it. Thank you for all the leadership, all the knowledge that you granted us, the wisdom and direction that you granted us. We thank you for all that you've done and all that you're doing. And, oh God, we thank you for what you're going to do. And now, on behalf of our president, we do pray that you exonerate him and, oh God, vindicate him in all the matters, court issues. Dear God, continue to bless this republic, our governors and our speakers, the House of God, all of those who participated. We pray that you continue to grant us wisdom and direction in everything we do. And we ask that you continue to honor the understanding of the people across this great nation, that they understand this republic and this constitutional government that's being established, dear God. We praise your name and glorify you for all that you do. Pray that you bless this call tonight. Bless our hearts. Open us up to your understanding of the truth. We always praise your name for it. This we pray in the wonderful, the precious and priceless name of Jesus Christ, who's Lord and Savior of all. Amen.
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 And with that, I yield the floor to Representative Owens for roll call this evening.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good evening, everyone. We'll start with Arkansas, Representative Charles Elliott. Representative Lamar Harvey. Representative Sherry Watson. From Colorado, Representative Dennis Spencer. Representative Elizabeth Ackerman.
Representative Elizabeth Ackerman is here.
Thanks, ma'am. Representative Michael Ackerman.
Representative Mike Ackerman is present.
Thank you. Representative Arthur Kimbrell. Representative Judith Rivier.
Present.
Thank you, ma'am. From Illinois, Representative Gene Ferguson. Representative Andrew Phil.
Andrew is present.
Thank you. Representative Clinton Ford.
Representative Ford from Illinois is present.
Thank you, sir. Representative Marissa Grant. Representative Mary Jane Giannotta. Representative Eugene Kuzanowski.
Representative Eugene Kuzanowski from Illinois is present.
Thank you. Representative Magdalena Urbaniak. From Indiana, Representative Jenny Owens is present. Representative Elizabeth Waters.
I'm present.
Thank you, ma'am. From Iowa, Representative Mark Binder.
Republic of Iowa, Representative Mark Binder is here. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Lawrence Beckman.
Lawrence Beckman's present.
Thank you, sir. From Missouri, Representative Ashley Mann. Representative Josiah Mann.
It should only take about 5 minutes for them to get here.
From Montana, Representative Marnie Harris.
Representative Marnie Harris from Montana is here.
Thank you, ma'am.
Well,
from North Dakota, Representative Robin Cox.
Yes, Representative Robin Cox is present.
Thank you, ma'am. Representative Irma Bittner. From Oregon, Representative John Rockwell.
Present.
Thank you. Representative Tim Stillian. Representative Skylar Arment. Representative Jane Burchard. Representative Wayne Bachman. From Wisconsin, Representative Ronald Austin.
Point of order, Representative Owens. We have a wireless caller that has just joined us. So the area code is 317-6716. Can you please identify yourself?
Mr. Speaker, that is Governor Owens from Indiana.
Okay, very good. You're identified now. I yield.
From Wisconsin, Representative Paul Glavin.
Representative Paul Glavin, Wisconsin, present.
Thank you, sir. Representative Robert Bursick. Representative Francine Arnold. Representative David Schmidt.
Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin is present.
Thank you, sir. Representative Debbie Richards. Representative David Hertler.
Representative Hertler from Wisconsin is present.
Thank you, sir. All right, Mr. Speaker, that concludes the roll call. If you'll give me just a moment, I will get us a tally.
Thank you, ma'am. And while she's doing that, we'll go into the committee updates. I'll start with the committee update on the documentation. We met just before the call tonight, and we divvied up the states that were accepted into the Union before 1860 and finding out how they were accepted and the procedure that they went through. And each member on the committee took two states to do that research. So we'll start that research with some bullet points to check off once we find out the information that we need. Then we'll be able to present that to the House floor and the Senate floor. And on recruitment, I did not get an update from Representative Spencer in Colorado. And I'll yield to Representative Kurzanowski for his update on the Rules Committee.
Good evening, everyone. We're still moving along, still working on, we're running on separate lanes. I've been a little curtailed in my duties communication-wise. My computer's down. I'm just being attacked from all sides lately. But I'm pretty sure we're just about wrapped up, and hopefully we'll have something for the next meeting after the holidays. And what the plan is to finalize what we have now, and then we'll present it, and it'll always be open for revision, of course, as things come up. And that's about all I have right now, so I yield.
Thank you, sir. And I don't see Representative from Wisconsin, Debbie Richards, on the call, so she won't be able to give us a update on her education committee. We'll have to wait until next time to receive that. So with that, we'll go ahead and go into the discussion tonight on the Dictionary Act of 1871. And I've been discussing this with Senator LaRue quite a bit, and also with the Governor Owens. They both worked on this and found this information out together, and that's why Governor Owens is on the call tonight. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read an excerpt out of that act, which is the 41st Congress, Session 3, and the excerpt that I'm going to read tonight is Chapter 71, Section 2, which was passed February 26th, 1871, is what I believe it says. It's tough to read. But anyway, this is what it says: "And be it further enacted that all acts hereafter passed, words importing the singular number may extend, be applied to several persons or things. Words importing the plural number may include the singular. words imploring the masculine gender may be applied to female, the words insane person and lunatic shall include various be applied to idiot, non-compass, junkus, and insane persons. The word person may extend and be applied to body politic and corporate, and references to any officer shall include any person authorized by law to perform the duties of such office unless the context shows that such words were intended to be used in a more limited sense, and the word oath shall include affirmation in cases where by law the affirmation may be substituted for an oath, and like case the word sworn shall be included to the word affirm. And with that ends the reading, and I will yield to Governor Owens to give us some insight on what was just read. And if you did not catch the part that he's going to talk about, I'm sure it will become clear once he is done discussing it. Governor Owens, you have the floor, sir.
Thank you, Speaker Rockwell. It's an honor to be here on the floor of the House of Representatives, and I would like to thank each representative for their work that they're doing, and just it's an honor to be here. Thank you very much. I'm not going to tell you that I have 100% understanding and we've got all this nailed down perfectly, but this has come as a result, much of this has come as a result of a lot of research and a lot of prayer. We've been asking the Lord to make known to us, what took place, what happened. And I know even a year ago, President Turner and others were talking about trying to figure out exactly where was the starting point of what we deem or call the de facto government. Where did things really take off? Where did things really get messed up? And there's a sequence of events that took place starting in the 1860s, possibly. Some things even before that, but as we know, the Civil War, when they walked out, the Congress walked out, that was a significant happening when they changed the oath of office to a civil oath in 1862. The 14th Amendment was a big issue. And a week prior to this Dictionary Act, you had the Organic Act, which created the corporation of the 1 mile square of the District of Columbia. And I know for a while that was thought to have been the quote-unquote straw that broke the camel's back. But through researching and looking into things myself and Senator LaRue, and he has an even better understanding of this, and because of my eyes, he has an ability to do some research that I can't do. But what we first and foremost discovered was that the corporation or the government has the right to contract and had the right to create the corporation. So that was not an unconstitutional act. And this has been an issue that we've really been, I'll say the Lord's really been pounding home to us that the Constitution is our remedy, just like the Republic is the remedy. And we began to look into this, said, well, okay, if they had the right to create a corporation, they didn't have a right to do everything they did with it. What happened? And we discovered that this particular act was enacted exactly 1 week after the Organic Act, same year, just a week later. And the significant aspects of this, there's two significant aspects. One is they made a corporation by calling, creating or defining a corporation as a person, they put a person on the, or a corporation on the same level as a person, so they gave a corporation sovereign authority. When you follow this to its end and to its final thought process. The other thing, and more significant, is they did the same thing with the body's politic, the government. The most significant thing about both of these, in order for them to have done this, this would have, and for it to be able to stand in law, it would have had to have been done in the form of an amendment. It was not, because this changes the form of government. This changes the law form. It makes now the government equal to the people. And the government was never intended to be equal to the people. It had, the government had delegated authority from the people, and that was it. So now, after, as a result of this act, the government has authority to delegate authority to itself. They have they have authority to do a whole lot of things they're not supposed to do. So this appears to be, as Acting President Geiger mentioned a week or two ago, appears to be the one of, anyway, the major keys and a very significant smoking gun to what took place to us and how they took authority. This also goes to, you know, there's been a lot of concern about people writing and doing remedy and going into some of these issues using several of these different processes. Well, in working through this logically, by then giving themselves sovereign authority, first and foremost, they have the ability to ignore. They have the sovereign authority to ignore. Now, this particular act is unconstitutional, and that's really, I guess, where we need to back up to. It is outside of the enumerated powers. So, first and foremost, this has not been challenged. And this leads us to why we're working so hard in other areas, because this needs to be challenged, and it cannot be challenged in their court. It has to be challenged in ours. This was done in de jure law. That's what makes and gives them, albeit it is unconstitutional until it's challenged and struck down and deemed to be unenforceable, they can do what they want. So we need to follow this through to its logical conclusion first and deal with it in that area. We also need to deal with it, or the tentacles of this, and as you sit and work your way through this and look at the far-reaching aspect of all this, and it seems rather innocuous. It's, well, they just changed a couple of words and changed the definitions of a couple of words. But as we have come to see and come to understand, we know words do mean things. And words are very important. They are the law in which we live by. They are God's law in which we live by. They're words that create. So this particular thing, it's an issue. Like I said, to work all the way through it takes some research, takes some time to study. I would encourage anyone tonight listening on the floor to look into this and really think through it, because this is an ongoing research project, and it is very significant. The as I said, the Constitution is our remedy. The Constitution is what we have to go by, and it's what they have to go by. We've got to figure out how to make it applicable for all of us. Speaker Rockwell, that's pretty much what I have. I can try to answer questions. Like I said, I do not have all the answers. We're still working on this. This is an ongoing research project, but I will yield the floor.
Well, thank you, Governor Owens. We'll save our questions to the one-minute floor time because we have several things that we are going to be reading tonight. And so, Governor Owens, if you could stay on the line with us and you want to get to that one-minute floor time, then if somebody does have questions of you, they can be answered at that time. Thank you, sir.
I will mute myself until that time.
And now we'll have Representative Owens read a letter from Rowdy Templar. What it is his resignation letter. And I yield to Representative Owens.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Before I do that, I also have a couple of other representatives who have joined the phone call. Representative Irma Bittner.
Yes, I'm here.
All right, thank you, ma'am. And Representative Marissa Grant from Illinois. She's there.
Yes, I'm here. I'm present.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. All right. Let me bring this up. Okay, from Rowdy George Templar. Letter of resignation from the Republic for Iowa and the Republic for the United States Congress, submitted by and for Congressman Rowdy George Templar, effective this 20th day of August 2013. To my friends in the great state of Iowa and to our great Republic for the United States of America, it has been my privilege to serve with you on behalf of the people of Iowa and those of all the states these past 3+ years, beginning July 6, 2010. During these years, I have enjoyed serving with many good and godly people with the best intentions and dedicated hearts. I am truly grateful for the many friends I have come to know, both here in Iowa and from among the many states. Oh, how I wish things would have progressed as we all hoped they would have, and as we hope they yet will. However, as for me, this marks the end of my participation, both in Iowa as Speaker of the House and as well as representative in the Republic for the United States of America. I wish all with whom I have served the blessings of Almighty God Jehovah, Rowdy George Templar, August 20th, 2013. That's the reading, and I yield, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, ma'am. And again, we'll save questions on that as well to the 1 minute of floor time. And now I'll go to reading the document from the governor of Indiana, Governor Owens. And this is to bring the chairs of the separate committees that we have in the House onto the Monday evening governor's call. And this is how it reads. From the Office of Governor, Indiana Free State, in union with the several states, of the Republic for the United States of America, regarding reports to the Free State Executives dated 8/27/2013, and this is to the Republic for the United States of America, House of Representatives. Dear Speaker Rockwell, as you are aware, along with Janine Stewart, I have been hosting the Republic Information Call for the Governors, in parentheses RICG, on Monday nights. Our primary goal is to keep the executives of the individual free states informed about the items that Congress and other national officers are working on so that they can in turn keep the people of their prospective states informed. Your participation in this process has been very helpful and is much appreciated. In an effort to further information and educate the people, I would like to further the participation of other members of Congress. Since most of the work in Congress takes place in the committees, I would like to request respectfully that the chairpersons of each committee come to the RICG calls on Monday night to give a brief report as to the work that is taking place in their individual committees. Please let me know if this can be arranged, and I would like to start this on the scheduled Monday, September 8th, 2013. I would like to thank you and all the members of the House of Representatives for their hard work and sacrifice in establishing constitutional government in this land. Respectfully, Daniel Mark Owens, Provisional Governor of Indiana. And with that, I'll yield. And now I'll open up the floor for 1 minute of floor time. You can ask your questions about any of the three documents that were read tonight, and you can direct those at myself or Governor Owens, or make a comment along another subject. And before I do yield the floor, last week one of the representatives asked me about funding, and as of yet, I have no knowledge of any funding for the Republic, and as soon as I do get knowledge of that, I'm sure it will be broadcast many places, because everybody will be jumping for joy when that particular thing happens, I'm assuming. So with that, I yield for everybody to have their 1 minute floor time. Does anybody have any questions or comments about anything that's been read tonight, or anything that you want to bring the attention to the other members of the House?
This is Republic for our Representative Mark Binder. May I have the floor?
You have the floor, sir.
Great. I just wanted to speak a little bit to Dan Owens and company about his research. I also wanted to throw in my 2 cents worth. And that would be, do not discount the document, the Declaration of Independence. That's a very powerful document, and it also gives teeth to the Constitution. So you might take another look at that and read it maybe with a different light. And another thing is when the corporation known as the United States government formed, you have to also have to look at the judicial aspect of it. And in contracts, of course, we all know de facto contracts presume consent, whereas de jure contracts require full disclosure of both parties. And that's my 2 cents worth. With that, I yield. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The floor is open.
This is Representative Ackerman. May I have the floor, please?
Yes, you have the floor, ma'am.
I just wanted to express my appreciation to all the hard work that goes into filing and sending out the Hertler report. And I yield the floor.
Thank you, ma'am.
This is Representative Hertler from Wisconsin.
Yes, you have the floor, sir.
I would just like to acknowledge Representative Ackerman's fine comment that she made on the Hertler report. The one that puts that report together is seated about 10 feet from me, and she heard what she had to say and lit right up. And so I don't have to say anything with. All I have to say is that I think you made her night. So that was a wonderful thing to say. With that, I yield.
Thank you. The floor is open. Governor Owens, you have a comment that you want to make?
Yes.
You have the floor, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, you have the floor, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate the comments from the gentleman from Iowa, and I concur about the Declaration of Independence. That seems to be where, not only in the Bill of Rights are our rights protected there, but in particular the Declaration of Independence more appropriately enumerates many of the rights that we have, and does not necessarily enumerate them, but indicates all of our rights. The main issue that we're having right now with the, if I can further clarify, with the Dictionary Act, is that it's unconstitutional, and that's where we need to go with this, is that this is unconstitutional. There's no two ways about it. It was outside of their enumerated authority to be able to write this particular piece of legislation, and this is why our judicial department and getting our judicial branch fully functional is critical, and I yield.
Well, does anybody have any final comments? Everybody seems to be very quiet tonight.
This is Republic Flyer, Representative Mark Biner. May I have one more comment?
You may certainly do that, sir.
Okay. I just wanted to ask Governor Owens if he wouldn't mind explaining a little bit more about how a city or a government can be a sovereign when God is the only sovereign. He gives sovereign rights to his people. That I yield. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, go ahead, Governor Owens.
Yes. In essence, you're correct. You're absolutely correct. First and foremost, they did not have the authority to do this. Now, this is my personal belief that they were attempting to replace God. Therein lies, as we know, this has been the whole plot has been very evil. At its core, but by giving a corporation or the government, by making them equivalent to people, the people then share the corporation then shares the same immunities, if you will, as a person would, as you or me. This is an unlawful act. It is an unconstitutional act. It has to be challenged. But that is what they are using. That's not saying that it's correct. I'm not saying that it's right for them to have done this. What I'm saying is this is what they have done, and it's where they're hanging their hat right now. We have to take the hat hook away from them. Representative Biner is there. Does that answer the question a little better?
Yeah, it does. Thank you very much.
Okay. Yeah, they did not have the authority to do this, but nonetheless, they did it anyway. I yield.
The floor is open. Well, I will entertain a motion to adjourn to September 10th, 2013 at 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific time, if somebody wants to make that motion.
Representative Robert Cox, I motion to adjourn until September 10th at 6 p.m. Pacific time.
This is Marnie Harris from Montana, and I second that motion.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. Who was it that made the motion? I didn't quite understand your name.
Representative Robin Cox.
Robin Cox, okay. I just couldn't hear you there for a moment. Thank you, ma'am. All in favor, say aye to adjourn to September 10th.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Okay, it looks like the ayes have it. I want to thank Governor Owens for joining us on the call tonight and giving that excellent explanation on the Dictionary Act. I appreciate your time this evening. And with that, can I get somebody to lead us in closing prayer to adjourn us this evening?
This is Representative Ford again, if no one wants to do it.
Hey, I know I can count on you, Representative Ford, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'd be so happy to. Our Lord and our God, we thank you once again. Thank you for this call tonight, and thank you for the participants. Thank you for all these great people who's standing up for what is right. We thank you for your wisdom and your direction, and we pray that you continue to direct, grant wisdom and direction, and let your perfect will be done in all of these issues. Oh, God, we know that you're moving in a mighty way, and we pray that you continue to do what you do best, and that is to bless us, to lead us, and guide us. We thank you for all the opportunities. Thank you for all that you've done, all you're doing. And once again, we pray on behalf of our president that he will be exonerated and vindicated totally, completely in the court issues, dear God. Now protect these people, these thy people, everywhere. Bless us as we adjourn tonight. Bring us back at the appointed time, and we'll thank you for all the knowledge that you supply us with. We'll always give your name the glory and praise, and we thank you for it now. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, hopefully you guys will all have a good holiday time, and we'll see you all back here on September 10th. Have a good night, everybody.
All right. God bless everyone. Read your Bibles.